The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what we're trying to have come up on this hour of the David Spoon Experience. Having a little problems getting in touch with Carrie Serafino. Everybody hang in there. We're having a little bit of a number issue. But once we get a hold of her, she's the co-author of the book Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court and the White House. Also, we're going to look at who are we to oppose God? Big mistake there. And then finally, we're going to look at things because it looks like there's more going around us than we know.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Aren't we doing good even though the things aren't working properly? I think we're doing great. Let's see. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation. Doesn't matter what the topic is, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things I want to tell you right off the top. Well, let me give you an update on what's going on in life as we try and track down Carrie. Now, it's not Carrie's fault. It's not Casey from Regnery's fault. We're having just a phone number disconnect, and we might have gotten the wrong number. Or I might have transposed it wrong. I'm not the most brilliant guy in the world. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But anyway, oh, wait. On the other hand, it looks like we did get through. Yay! All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's see if she's there. Carrie, are you there with us?
I am.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It is such an honor to have you on the show. I really appreciate it. First of all, congratulations on the incredible big smash book, Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. Just awesome to have you on, and I've got a bazillion, trillion, trillion questions, but I want to give you the opportunity and the floor first. You've written a book. It has to do with Justice Kavanaugh, that whole process. What moved you and Molly Hemingway to get together and say, we should write a book about this because this process is nuts?
Absolutely. Well, so we both were watching this in real time as it happened, as I'm sure you were, and like most of America was kind of glued to their TV for this whole process. She was a journalist covering it. I was working for the main organization advocating for constitutionalist judges be confirmed, including Justice Kavanaugh. So I was kind of living this through the process. We knew that were crazy and fascinating stories that were not, in fact, being told and that people hadn't heard. So, and we also thought, you know, this is really one of the most important things that happened to the country this past year, because it wasn't just Justice Kavanaugh that was on trial. It was Justice on Trial. That's what we got the name of the book. It was the whole concept of due process, the rule of law, the presumption of innocence was being challenged in this national circus of a confirmation process. So we decided this could be a really good team to tell those stories and to make sure that the American people knew what really happened there, because I think understanding what happened is kind of the first step to trying to prevent this from happening to another nominee in the future.
Got it. I want to make sure people know how to get in touch to get this book. They can buy it on Amazon, and assume Books A Million or Barnes & Noble, whatever the case may be.
Barnes & Noble, yep.
They can buy it anywhere they want. This is a fantastic read, and the response that you've gotten is awesome from normal people. From abnormal people like the mainstream media, they won't even look at this. They won't even touch it. Have you gotten any interviews with any of the other type of press outlets?
You know, it's been a shame, but not yet. It's been announced to them, you know, and I do a lot of media on CNN, MSNBC, and ABC, CBS, NBC, but we haven't had a chance to go on them yet, so I'm hopeful that now that the book has been so successful that they will call us back and get us on there, because I do think it's a really important story to be told, and we wanted to make sure that we got the authoritative, complete version. You know, so we talked to over 100 people, hundreds of hours of interviews. We talked to the president, the vice president, you know, the team that was working in the White House and the Department of Justice. We talked to Supreme Court justices and senators and their staff. And we talked to the people who knew Kavanaugh and Blasey Ford when they were in high school and since then. So, you know, I hope that they will start paying a little more attention to what's going on in this process, because it's not something that we can just say, oh, that happened last year and it's now over. And I think we've learned by the excitement and interest we've seen in this book so far that a lot of people in America don't feel like they had closure after that. It was some crazy stuff that went down, and they want to know what happened and how can we hold people accountable for what they did to that process.
Watching that process was exceedingly painful for people that have no outlet, no media outlet, no way to express themselves, no way to share what was going on. Just watching that whole thing, doesn't the tactic used against Justice Kavanaugh, doesn't that discourage people from public office?
Yeah, we were really worried about that. And one of the things we learned through all these interviews is that Ashley Kavanaugh herself was praying before the nomination that her husband wouldn't get this job for exactly the reason that you were saying. She had already been through a really tough confirmation with him. He actually had to go through nominations and hearings twice to get on the Court of Appeals because they were so opposed to him, because he had worked on the Whitewater investigation. He made a lot of enemies in the Clinton administration, as you know, he mentioned this thing. A lot of people poo-pooed him at the time, but you know what? That was real. There were people who were still very angry at him when he went on the D.C. circuit, and a lot of those same figures were still around in politics this time. So she thought, we've got a great life. We don't need this. You know, let's just stay where we are. Of course, he got the nomination. Then she pivoted to being just one of the strongest supports you can imagine for both him and their daughters and everyone around them. But we worry that the next nomination, I mean, this is what it looks like, replacing a swing vote on the court with a Trump nominee. What does it look like if you are replacing a liberal justice with a nominee from President Trump? I think that's really, you know, frightening to think of what could happen next time. That's why it's so important that people know what to expect and know how to not be taken in by unsubstantiated allegations or whatever the next trick is that Democrats have up their sleeve.
Yeah, you ought to get a pen out. Just get ready to pen that next book, because it's you can count on it that it's coming that direction. I have to ask you this question. You know, sometimes they send you questions where you ask. I never pay attention to those, so please don't be offended. But the idea is, you interviewed a whole bunch of people, over 100 people. One of them was President Trump. One of them was Vice President Pence. Here's my question. It's going to be kind of bizarre, but bear with me. I just want to know, when you started doing this interview with President Trump, what his facial expression was when you said, okay, how do you feel about this nomination? How do you feel? I mean, I want to know, did his eyes go rolling in the back of his head?
You know, he actually was really proud of what his team was able to do there and his own ability to stand behind his nominee. He told us how when he told Kavanaugh he was choosing him, he said, I you know what, actually this is gonna be the easiest confirmation ever, because you are so hands down qualified, you've gone through all this FBI process a million times, it should be no problem. And so he was still very proud of his choice of Kavanaugh, and then proud of the fact that he stood firm. And I think that is absolutely right, because I don't think, like, we talked to tons of people, one of the questions we always would ask is, do you think another Republican president would have stood behind their nominee like that? And I'll tell you, the vast majority of people said, I'm not sure if there's anyone else that would have done that. And it was so important to have someone who wasn't willing to buckle under in that pressure, because if that happened, you know, we're worried about what's going to happen next time. If they had been managed to scuttle this nomination based on these allegations, you can guarantee that next time and every time, that's what you're going to see.
Yeah. I think what disturbs me probably the most was the, as an American, just a person who's watching television, is this eradication of the presumption of innocence, which has completely carried over into the social media context. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me to be a tactic of the extreme left on anything that is either pro-Trump, pro-Republican, pro-conservative, pro-this, pro-that. It's almost like no matter what it is, there's no innocence. Everybody's evil. Everybody's guilty. They should all perish. Is that what you see continuing to grow, not just in that nomination, but in the overall philosophy that these people are using?
Well, yeah, of course, it's not across the board. Everyone's guilty of anything they're accused of, because it really only applies to conservatives that are accused of things. But, you know, that's the whole process behind, this whole idea behind due process and the rule of law. It means that we play by the same rules if it's someone you like, if it's someone you don't like, if it's someone you would have voted for or wouldn't have. Everyone needs to have the same set of rules. That's what it means to live in a country with due process of law. And so I think we want to really make sure that that stays firm. And we talk about how this is something that goes back way before. It's not just it's because it's in our Constitution, which it is, and that's great. It predates that. That's why our framers knew it was so important, because they knew you can't function in a society where anyone can make an allegation and the government can just decide, well, you're guilty of that. And it doesn't have to be just in a court of law. That means, you know, if someone's reputation will be sacrificed merely because someone says, I think this happened, or I believe, or I'm confident this happened 35 years ago with no evidence. You have to look at the evidence, and you know it, they should be taken seriously. But that includes giving them the respect of, okay, let's see if there's actually anything that corroborates what you're saying. And in this case, what we found is there not only was there not corroboration, there the more the people looked into the allegations, the Senate was investigating this, the more it became clear that actually there was a lot of stuff pointing against what Christine Blasey Ford was alleging here.
All right, here's the thing that I cannot wrap my brain around, and this is where I need people that have a lot more wisdom, a lot more insight, a lot more understanding as to how the media works in other places other than, you know, simple places like Dallas, Texas. How is it that the accuser didn't want anything to go public or didn't really want to make a big deal of this, but the first thing she does is contact the Washington Post? How does that work?
Yeah, that's not normally your first course of action if you don't want them to become public. So that I think was a red flag for a lot of people, that doesn't seem to kind of ring true. But I think even if you take her at her word and say she doesn't want this to become public, I think it's important to look at the actions also taken by everyone around her, from her lawyers who recommended that she then get a polygraph test done, you know, and kind of prepare this effectively public relations campaign. From Senator Feinstein, I think that's one of the most egregious examples, where she had this letter. She says, oh, this woman says she wants to remain confidential. Well, guess what? And Senator Feinstein knows this. There is a process by which the Senate has to investigate these kind of allegations so that the people can remain confidential. So you can look at it, but not drag the victim into the public eye or the nominee into the public eye if we don't know yet whether it's something that's a valid accusation. That was something that Senator Feinstein absolutely ignored. And then, of course, it referred her to this lawyer who specializes in these big ticket cases with a big, huge media plan next to it. And then you have it kind of rolling out as a public relations campaign rather than as an actual search for what is the truth here. And that was something that raised a lot of red flags, and we learned raised red flags with some of the key votes, like Susan Collins, the swing votes, the undecided people who really had in their power to decide what was going to happen with this nomination. The way that the Democrats mishandled that didn't start them off on a foot that made these sound plausible.
Here's my final question. It's not a complex question, but it leads to great complexity. And that is, with the idea that, oh, she said it, so she should be believed. And there was a kind of a movement saying, if she said it, it must be true kind of mentality. And then it seems like that same mantra carries into not just social media, but the media at large, the news media, the national media. And then there becomes this divide. If somebody says it, it's not true, if they're conservative or if they're like on this side of the aisle. And then if somebody said it on this side of the aisle, it must be true. Just had this happen the other day with a congresswoman who said, this guy said, go back where you came from. And the guy was a Democrat and he never said that. And it's like, it's become a dynamic of word choice depending on whether it supports your cause. Do you see that problem increasing?
Yeah, that was definitely a huge factor here, because people would say, believe all women, and then they would ignore the huge number of women who were standing up saying, I knew Brett Kavanaugh at that time, I dated him, or I've known him since high school, and I wouldn't stand up for five people in my life this way under these circumstances, but he is one of them that I would. And so, you know, it was selectively saying, we're only going to believe, you know, the people that fit our narrative. I don't think under a system of rule of law and due process, we can ever say, I'm just going to automatically believe one side or the other, whether it's I believe all women, I believe all men, that can't be the rule. But even more so, we should make sure that we have a consistent standard for everyone.
Yeah, I agree with you. You are an excellent person to talk to. It's easy to talk to you because you have, you can tell the knowledge and the depth that you have in communicating this. I really am blessed that your book has done so well. And again, I want to make sure people know where they can get it. So if you can just take a second, they can get it at Amazon and all these different outlets online as well as other bookstores?
Yeah, Justice on Trial. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at Amazon. It's been a really great experience to see the success. Read some of the Amazon reviews. We've been so thrilled because people have blazed through this book really fast and had some great detailed reviews, and everyone picks out different stories that they found most fascinating or surprising or moving. So that's really fun for an author to read.
Excellent job. I just wanted to, and then for people that you don't know, and then you go on radio shows and you do them or you'll do interviews, you don't know us, but we're proud of you. We think it's fantastic.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for taking the time to meet with us. I appreciate it very much. Thanks. Wow. Okay, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
Whether you're buying a new home or selling your current home or both, you want to work with somebody who's completely committed to the process and believes it's as important as you do. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. In real estate, there are people who get involved to make a few extra dollars. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you're interested in working with somebody who's committed to the process of treating people like family and approaching real estate the way that would be best for you, the answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. With every client, she sees an opportunity to honor the Lord and to do the ministry He has called her to do faithfully. For her, it's not a job, it's a calling. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. Call Pam at 817-505-5541 or visit blessedrealtycompany.com. Have a meeting with her at no obligation. She'll be glad to help you and will do whatever she can to be a blessing.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Great job by Carrie Severino. She did a wonderful job. That book that they've got, some really fascinating material. The book's called Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. Great job. And so just want to let them know how much we appreciate that. So I got a whole bunch of updates to give you, a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you about. I mean, just plus we got some teachings that we want to get into. Before we get there, let's give acknowledgement to our sponsor, my good friend John.
Big John. Big John.
Now, because of our time constraints, we won't give him as much time as is normal, but I'll let you know, and you'll understand when I share this story in just a couple seconds, how John is a great brother in the Lord. If you are looking for somebody to look at your roof and let you know on a free inspection whether it needs to be replaced, repaired, or left alone, you want to get in touch with John. 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. John, good man. Good man. Why do I say he's a good man? Well, yesterday at 4:48, my daughter had the baby. Okay? But the baby has had some struggles. So the baby has been in little baby ICU, which is grandpa no good. Grandpa doesn't like stuff like that. So I am able to reach out to certain people like, you know, the people that sponsor our show, like John, like Pamela, like Dr. B, like Jamie, and let them know, we've got this situation going on. I need you guys to be in prayer. And I just appreciate the responses, and especially John and Pamela have to be very, very responsive and checking up and seeing how things are going. These are good people in the Lord. Okay? And that's what I needed. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for my daughter. So I had a wonderful, wonderful friend contact me when they found out and asked, what's the baby's name? And what do you think the baby's name is? Don't guess, because they still don't have a name. I think my daughter's making this a habit. I just think that's going on. So I talked to my daughter today. So the baby's had some problems breathing, which is kind of a real crucial kind of part of the existence, breathing, you know, one of those things. And they're going to stay in the hospital for a couple extra days. Baby has been doing a lot better. We had 3,000 people across the nation praying as of last night to this morning. That's pretty good. That's a good prayer line right there. So I would appreciate people that would pray. She's going to be there for another couple of days. My daughter's plus the baby. And I just want people to be praying just that the Lord would touch her and encourage her. I think as a mom, and this is her third time around, she was kind of drained. And that's a draining scenario. Her draining scenario comes on a very important day. Today is hammock day.
for those that don't know, you're thinking, how could you even do this? This is how I live, folks. This is what it is. Why is today Hammock Day? And there's a reason. The dog days of summer are July 3rd to August 11th. And right in between them is July 22nd. It's a hammock day. It's not a national holiday, but it is the one day you're not supposed to cut your yard. So all I can say is, where were you for the last like 7, 8, 9 weeks? Oh, hammock day. That's all I got on that one. And then additionally, because we don't have a lot of time, I know we got like just a couple of minutes. Yesterday, my son took me to do something that I've never done before. And I got to ask Wonder Julie, because she might have done it before. He took me to an arrow range and we shot bows and arrows. I mean, like he bought a bow and you go there and it's like, I guess, a shooting range or whatever, but it's with bows. And here's what I figured out, because I haven't shot an arrow in 37 years.
Did you do that in high school? We did it in high school.
Nah, see, I didn't do it in high school. I did it when I went to Camp Tamaqua, which is that movie Indian Summer that was written. I was 13 or 14. So the first thing they did is they showed me a bow, compound bow. I was like, the only compound we knew of was from Hogan's Heroes. I don't even know what you're talking about. And then they show us the bow. And so I put the bow in and they're like, okay, the feather thing goes this way. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. It has a little knot and has a little thing. And my son's got one. It's got a scope. Well, I'm like, that's not shooting bows and arrows. Anyway, I will say I did hit the bullseye 1 out of 122 times.
Nice.
Notice I'm only focusing on the one. So I did do that. For those that have never done anything different with your children, it's fun to do that. You know, my finger is still numb though. So when I go like this, put my finger in my ear and go like this to here, I can't tell how far in I'm putting my finger in my ear. I don't know, folks. I'm working through it. So I did go arrow shooting, just to let you know. Thank you, Joshua, for taking me. I got great kids most of the time. The conversation on the way home wasn't probably. And then I said, read Psalm 37. He texts me later. He goes, Psalm 27? I'm like, is it that hard? All right. We're going to take our break. We're going to come back. I got a very interesting teaching. I hope it's something that will bless you. I certainly hope so. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Wow, look at that hail.
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof.
Uh-oh. It's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly. He's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs, whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections. I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered, because reliability starts at the top.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Dr. Robert Jeffress. on hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church we call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes. It's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas. 770 KAAM. Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Our email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email regarding the interview or anything else, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Notice that similar theme. We have a link on the website that can take you to, I think it's about 2,400 hours of podcasts. So if you are really trying to, you know, wound yourself, you can listen to as much as you want. Also, we have a donation page for some of the different projects we're going to do. And one of the things that we do is we give away money in our trivia, and that all comes out of our pocket. And so we appreciate any help that anybody wants to give us in that. By the way, tomorrow we are doing a trivia contest that will be for money, and tomorrow's teaching, I think, is going to be a big blessing for quite a few people, so I hope so. Additionally, if you want to, and that's davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media, those are all the David Spoon Media things. Okay, dokie. This segment brought to you by Jamie Blumenthal. And his wonderful wife, Nancy, Retirement Strategies and Solutions, 800-287-1667. It's simple from Jamie and Nancy's point of view. You want to retire the right way, which is why they have retiretherightway.com. You just want to do it the right way. Why? Because you don't want to do it the wrong way. Ta-da! You know what happens when you go driving down the wrong way, when you have a one-way street and you go driving down the wrong way? You get pulled over and you get a ticket. That's what happens. So retire the right way, not the wrong way. RetireTheRightWay.com. Plan right, retire right, retire the right way. There you go. Oh, I got a kind of an interesting communication, a DDD. If people want to know, what's a DDD, Dave? I heard you talk about it in the very beginning of the show, which is like 5 months ago now. And that a DDD is a devotional diamond of the day, a DDD. So how does that come about? Well, all the material that we talk about on the show that is biblical is at least 2,000 years old. So none of it's new. Get it? Pum, bam. And then B, a lot of it comes out when I'm doing my devotions. I'm a real devotional guy. I like doing devotions in prayer and Bible. And then something kind of highlights or really jumps out at me. And I write down the thoughts that I have about that and then put together a little thought process on it. So that's typically how we get to the devotional diamond of the day, that which kind of leaps off the page. This one comes out of Acts chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. This is Peter giving a recounting of his experience with Cornelius and bringing the gospel from exclusively the Jewish presentation into a more corporate Gentile presentation. And so this is what he said as he's recounting this for the people in Jerusalem. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so if God gave them, referring to the Gentiles, the same gift as he gave us who believe in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could oppose God?
So as Peter is explaining the situation, what happened is he went and he talked to the Gentiles and brought the gospel there. And for those that are not aware, there was a lot of tension between the Gentiles and the Jewish nation. There was a lot of tension culturally, spiritually. There was a lot of angst that was going on. We don't understand any of that today. Oh, wait, we do have angst that's going on. So as he does the presentation, he's sharing the gospel with them. The scripture says that while Peter was speaking, okay, no altar call, while he was talking, the Holy Spirit falls upon the people, and some of the people are speaking in tongues, and some of the people are, you know, just touched by the power of God and the presence of God. And it's at that point where Peter goes, well, look, if this is what the Lord is doing amongst the Gentiles, we can't forbid them from being baptized. They need to be baptized so they can be a part of everything here, right? But look at his defense when he is recounting the story. And this should be something that we are perhaps maybe more aware of just as believers, because we tend to think we have absorbed it all and we know best. And most people wanting to follow the Lord typically want to follow the Lord as advisors and not as followers. So Peter says, who was I to think that I can oppose God? Hey, you know what God did not do? He did not sit down with Peter and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. They're going to get saved, and then we're going to pour out my spirit upon them, and they're going to speak with tongues, and then we're going to change the world. God didn't review his plans with Peter because he didn't need to. And Peter goes, who was I? I wasn't going to say anything. Who are we? If God wants to do something different or something the same that we're used to, who are we to say yes or no? I'm pretty sure, I'm going to double check this and maybe somebody can correct me, but I'm pretty sure he didn't make us the keepers of his systems. We're not in charge to tell God, well, this is the only way we will let you do it, God. I don't think we get to do that. And so you'll hear me talk a lot about this. You'll hear me talk about Pentecostal faith and Baptist faith as though they're one. You're thinking, well, they're not one. If you think that the Pentecostal as a Baptist or the Baptist as Pentecostal is your spiritual enemy, you should never, ever, ever watch television. Ever. You'll find out who the real enemy is, those that are opposed to Christ. If you worship God differently than I do, it probably means you grew up in a different household than I did. Okay. And this is the problem. The problem is that we tell people, well, you got to worship the Lord the way I do. And it's like, no. See, there's 12 tribes. One of the tribes goes in front. One of the tribes goes in back. One of the tribes is on the right. One of the tribes is on the left. And in the middle are the priestly workings of the process. Well, in the New Testament analogies, there's the body of Christ. So you got the feet, the ankles, the legs, the kneecaps, the thighs, the waist, the chest, the arms, shoulders, the elbows, the hands. Guess what? Those are not all the same. The hand can't turn to the thigh and go, huh, you're not like I am. I'm a hand. Consequently, the thigh should not turn to the hand and go, I'm not dumb enough to get a splinter. Okay? These are the things you got to not do. And if God does something different with another believer who genuinely believes in Jesus Christ but doesn't see everything the way you see, it's like, so? This is the same problem that Peter and John had when Jesus said to Peter, well, your time is coming where they're going to take you in a direction you don't want to go and in a way you don't want to go. And so Peter's like getting all like flustered about it, and he turns and looks at John. He goes, what about that guy? What about that guy? And Jesus is like, what's that your business? You follow me, Jesus said. There's a problem with some of that. Romans 14:4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. We're the Lord's servants. And so there's Peter in that, I think, what was a brilliant moment for him to say, and I think it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but I think there was a genuineness of partnership with humanity in it. Well, who am I? I'm not in charge of this stuff. This is the Lord's working. And on some people he does this, and on some people he does this. Some people go, well, that's not right. Well, take it up with God. I mean, the Lord will do with his own as he pleases. He doesn't review it with anybody. You understand, Dave, you have to be premillennial dispensational. No, you don't. You don't understand, Dave, you have to be amillennial. No, you don't. You don't understand, Dave, you have to have, the church has to have what we say it has to have. So those people that love Jesus, I'm not talking about fake people. I'm not talking about, but the people that see that different than you, they should just be accursed. I'm pretty sure that's not where the Lord goes with that. I'm pretty sure the body has diversity for a reason. And here's something that you might want to think about. This is something the Lord's really been trying to teach me, and I'm just bad at it. And that is, diversity is not the same as division. Uniqueness does not require a fighting spirit against one another. In other words, I was watching the other day. I only got 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Okay, so I was watching the replay. Okay, just bear with me. I was watching the replay of the LA Rams and the Patriots in the last Super Bowl. I was watching the last 5 minutes. Okay, that was from last year. And it turns out that as I was watching it, I already knew who was going to win because I had seen it, but I was still rooting for the Patriots, which was really kind of bizarre, right? Because it's like, I already know who's going to win this game. Oh, he's going to do this. Oh, I'm saying that even though I've seen it, right? But I have a very, very, very dear friend who's camping right now, so he can't hear any of this, which is fantastic. And he is from LA, and let me tell you who his favorite team is. The Rams. Now, this is a guy that has helped me in my spiritual walk, and I've helped him for 30 plus years. I don't think of him less because he's a Rams fan as a Christian. As a football fan, that's different. But I mean, as a Christian, he's as much, if not more so, if not 10 times more so, a Christian than I am. In other words, our difference on where we're supporting, that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we have the same dad, that we're blood relatives, and we drink of the same Holy Spirit. Who am I? Get it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind. Destroying
everyone and everything. Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
One of the most frustrating experiences a person can go through is having body pain. It's also difficult to watch one of your loved ones go through that same type of pain. Since we moved to Texas, my wife has quite a bit of bodily pain. Knowing that my wife is getting better because she's going to Dr. Brandon Brown, now that's a true blessing. I share with you my recommendation for Dr. B. Go to his website at drbrandonbrown.com or call him at his office, 972-454-9362. I've entrusted him with the care of my wife, and I'm confident that any person who listens to our radio show will get the same type of quality service. And by the way, it's Migraine Awareness Month, and that pain in your head could be from your back. Get in touch with Dr. B and find out. Go to his website at drbrandonbrown.com or call him at his office, 972-454-9362.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to, email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook David Spoon Media, YouTube David Spoon Media. If you take the Yahtzee dice and you throw them right now, it's going to say David Spoon Media if the phrase David Spoon Media is on there. If not, probably not. This segment brought to you by our very good friend and prayer warrior, Pamela.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's...
Melgio, no. All right. So one of the things that I did get to find out about Pamela... is, and it's kind of cool because you get to know the people that you're working with and that are supporting your show, is that she is a prayer warrior. Now, I say I like that because I believe that prayer does change the situation. I don't believe it creates simply a positive realm or sphere of, you know, tranquility. And no, I think that when prayer is offered up to the Lord and the Lord gives the affirmative, he tears the fabric of humanity and of our existence in our universe and inserts the essence of heaven into our situation and changes it. That's how I see the Lord as processing with us. Pamela is a warrior in prayer along those lines. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's real estate, too. In other words, I'm just trying to make sure you understand what's going on. And having a grandchild in the ICU, not the greatest feeling. So having somebody pray for me, much better. Much better believing that the Lord will oversee the situation. If you have questions about real estate and you're trying to figure out what's going on, or if you think, is this a good time? Or perhaps it's not a good time. Perhaps it is a good time to sell, and then maybe, maybe you're looking at investments. Maybe you're looking at a couple of different things. Call her. Talk to her. Find out. No cost. No obligation. Her website, theblessedrealtycompany.com. The Blessed, BLESSED, theblessedrealtycompany.com. You can call her. Now, I know it's 10 digits, but hang on. 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. I think she's great. I appreciate her prayers, obviously, and I think that you would appreciate working with somebody who has a similar heart and mind. Okay. All right. One of my fave portions that I want to kind of close the show out with, and it has to do with perspective, because my perspective is terrible. In fact, my wife was letting me know just today how I focus too much on my emotional up and down. You think, oh, Dave, you sound solid like a rock. You should see me the other 23 hours. You ever see Blazing Saddles where he goes, where the sheriff turns to the kid? I can't remember. Gene, what's his face, with the kid. And he goes, are you steady? And he shows him his hand. He goes, completely steady. This hand doesn't move. He goes, but I shoot with this hand. And then he shows his hand waving back and forth. But see, I think that's funny.
See? Because why? Because he's steady with the wrong hand. With his shooting hand, it's bouncing up and down. That's me. I bounce. I'm up and down. Just ask some of the people that work around here. They'll tell you. So here is something that could help me and you and us. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, "Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So this is a great prescription for those of us who get situation focused. I'm not saying that we do it all the time, but there are times in the walk where you get so focused on the situation, you can only see it in the natural. This is why scriptures say, walk by faith and not by sight. And you're thinking, well, that's, you know, that's really just proverbial. And it's like, well, then the entire Bible is just proverbial if you're going to do that. What scripture wants us to do is see, it tries to bring us to a point where we draw in unto Jesus. The purpose of scripture is so you can have a better relationship with Jesus Christ, just in case you're trying to figure that part out. And it helps us to see and encourages us to see with God what we're looking at. It's difficult. I was even thinking about this driving into the studio. It's almost like, yeah, sometimes I wish I could put the word God on the bottom of my sunglasses so that whenever I'm looking at the situation, I can remember to try and see with God. I think that's a very dangerous thing because people would, like, you know, get distracted and stuff. But I think the idea is you want to see with God, not without God. When you look at a circumstance and you have not drawn God into it as part of that situation, you are essentially walking in the flesh or in the man that is distant or separated from God. If you add God, so to speak, into the situation, does it look different? And if it looks different, what does it look like? Well, for this man who was a servant of Elijah, he could not see with God. And so all he could see was the armies surrounding the city. And so what does Elijah pray? He says, "Oh, Lord, open that guy's eyes. He don't see nothing. Are you blind?" As soon as he prays for his eyes to be open, then he's seeing that there are chariots and horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Completely changes his perspective on the situation. And you're thinking, "Oh, but that's them. And they don't live in America, in Irving, Texas, or in Dallas. They don't know." Right. I think it was a little worse for them. Just going to go out on a limb and say that. But here's the reality check. I do think that if the Lord peeled back our eyes and we did see all the angels and demons, a lot of people would freak out. I do think that would happen. People would be freaking out left and right. But I think when we're unable to see with God, we see with doubt or with dismay or with darkness. And when you see with darkness, it don't look good. I mean, I'm just saying, it just doesn't look the way it can look. We need to be, I think that Elijah, this is in scripture for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is to show us an example that we should be praying for a better perspective, a perspective that includes God, a perspective that says, "I can see with God, I can see this better." I think that mindset is a better approach. That mindset is a better idea. I think the idea that we don't do that hurts us. True vision and insight for our eyesight to be revealed, for our ability to see better. It's not that let me say this really carefully. I'm not trying to tell you to paint a fake rosy picture. Okay? I'm not trying to say, oh, well, just look at everything, you know, just look at the bright side of life. I'm not quoting Life of Brian at the end of the movie. Here's the bottom line. It's just seeing with God. There could be a different reason. There could be a different purpose. There could be a different element. But if you don't see with God, you never see opportunity and possibility. You see disturbance. What's that expression? There's a disturbance in the force. It's just like when you see without God, there's always a disturbance in the force. There's always something going on. It's always bad. And it's like, yeah, we need to pray that the Lord will open our eyes, give us clarity in our sight. I tend to think that the examples in Scripture are, there's probably 150, if not 200 examples in Scripture. Always comes to mind, though, the one with Peter. Always comes to mind. Dude gets out of the boat, doing great, walking on the water, gets his eyes focused on the wind and the waves and even what he's accomplishing, walking on the water, and he sinks. It's like, that's what happens when you get so focused on your scenario, you sink. I mean, you go down. Fortunately, in his situation and in our situation, the Lord's always close enough where when you start screaming, Lord, save me, it doesn't seem like it takes very much for him to reach out his hand and grab you. But we just get so focused on the situation that it tends to take us down. And the irony is we don't know what the real situation is when you add God into it. Here's one of my favorite things. Have you ever gone on a ride in a car and you're going around a corner and you can't see? So you can't see what's around the corner, right? Well, some of us keep thinking that it's a train coming and it's going to run us over. You might not see what's around the corner, but you can be connected to him who is around the corner. He's already there. What a big difference to think that you could live your life knowing that around that corner that you can't see, God is already there. Instead of thinking it's an oncoming train, maybe you can understand that it's the grace and mercy of God en route to your life. That'd be a cooler way to see things. Not always easy, but should be what we're praying for on a pretty regular basis, okay? All right, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.